not even know they have it.
Oh.
Seriously.
The hospital thinks it's already blown.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's March 23rd, 2020 Othello City Council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the council, wisdom as they make their decisions tonight. Okay, now if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. We have council member John Erickson is attending the conference call, and council member Angel Garza is out of town, and I would entertain a motion to excuse Angel Garza from tonight's meeting.
Make that motion. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion.
Aye.
Citizen input. Is there any citizen tonight who would like to provide input to the city council? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move to the approval of tonight's agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now we'll move to our consent agenda.
Mayor, I have a question about something in the consent agenda.
Yes.
So the smoke test project, yes. That was supposed to be from Broadway to 7th Avenue, right?
That's my understanding.
So I'm kind of curious of why they were doing all the testing up near 14th.
Okay, that was the cameraing and the sewer lining. So that is my understanding that they were, that's a separate project and a separate contractor.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Councilman Erickson, seconded by Gina. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Aye.
Now we move to our current business, and the council has before it an Intrigue communications contract, and our IT director, Abner Garza, has worked that out, and I think he'd given you a report, and now this is the contract. So, Abner?
Yeah, council. So I talked to you guys about the Intrigue contract for our phone system. Intrigue wants to come in, and we're gonna split that up between two different times they come out. One is gonna be a cost of $5,200, and second time is gonna be a cost of $2,500. To the first initial is going to be getting us a redundant phone system, basically the same system. They're just going to make it redundant so that we have good failover. And then the second time they come around is going to be to clean up our old phone system and get our dispatch system working the way we want. So also we're going to have ongoing maintenance of about $110 a month, and that's going to cover our phone system, unlimited phone support for our phone system, and it's going to cover our network support as well. So with that, if you want to, I'd like for you guys to approve this contract.
Any questions, council?
I'll make a motion to approve the IT purchases.
I'll second that. John Erickson.
Okay. Motion made by Gina, seconded by John Erickson. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to item 4B, which is the TASER agreement. And we have Police Chief Phil Schenck is here to outline that agreement.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
5 years ago, we brought to council a proposal to purchase new tasers, as well as an annual fee that we would pay towards the replacement of those tasers at the end of the life cycle. We've now reached the end of the life cycle, so we actually have a credit with Taser. What we're actually proposing is that we go to the newer Taser instead of sticking with the platform that we're using now, which is a single shot. Every time we shoot it, we are in a single-use battery. The new proposal, it's a rechargeable battery. It actually has two shots on the Taser. So there's some significant improvements to the thing. There would be no effect to this year's budget, as we budgeted $4,000. There would be about a $1,300 increase to next year's budget, and after that, we would be looking at about a $4,000 a year budget increase for the remaining three. So it's a five-year contract with Taser. I'd be open to any questions, but we would urge council to approve it for the mayor to sign.
What do the tasers cost to purchase individually?
I don't know. Don't have that number. One of the reasons that we went with this annual kind of idea was so that I wouldn't come to council and say, hey, I need $70,000 like we used to. The first time we bought them, I believe that we paid, we came to council and asked for a pretty significant amount. Our goal is that from this point on that we're trying to spread it out over the years, and that's why Taser offers this.
So this would be, in the long run, cheaper to do it this way than purchasing them?
If we were to purchase these, it would be, my understanding would be about $70,000, $60,000 to $70,000.
That's quite a bit cheaper.
So this actually spreads it out, and at the end of the period, we would just keep doing this. And every year we would have a flat rate, or darn close to a flat rate. Right. This is for 17 tasers, by the way.
Okay. Is there anything else included in this contract agreement? Do we get maintenance?
They're all guaranteed with the warranty for this entire period. That's part of the reason to replace them at the end, is so that they're always under warranty. It also comes with, retraining two instructors to make sure that they stay current with their certifications. And it includes all of the Taser cartridges that we would need to train all of our officers in these new cartridges, as well as, we believe, enough Tasers to probably get us through the next year or two. The cartridges, because they're about $35 a cartridge.
So, okay, good.
But we won't be paying $100 a piece for the batteries anymore, because we would just recharge them.
Council, any further questions? Okay.
I make the motion to approve the Taser agreement.
Second.
Go ahead.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded to approve this agreement as presented. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
You're an aye in favor, right, John? Erickson?
What's that, sir?
There was a little delay. It almost sounded like you were against it, but you're not, correct?
Oh, no, I'm in favor. I'm in favor.
Thank you. I knew that. I just wanted people to know. All right. Very good. Thank you, John. The next item on our agenda is the curb contract. So CURB is the Community Economic Revitalization Board. And last November, we applied for a planning grant to do a study of the Market District Food Makers Incubator. And the city received that grant. And so this grant and this paperwork and contract that's before the council is the contract between the city and CURB. So basically, this is the scope of work that we were agreed to do. Which we will have a consultant, which has been selected, but I asked them, and they agreed it would be a good idea to, given the widespread shutdowns, to delay that and the contract with Market Tech. And after we get through some of these hurdles, we still have 2 years, according to this contract, to get it completed. And so I want to present this to council to approve the contract with CURB. And then later I'll present to the council, once we see our way through some of these hurdles that we're experiencing today, of contract with Market Tech. So with that, is there any questions? No? All right. That and entertain a motion to approve the city contract with CURB.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made and seconded to approve this contract. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So with that, I do have a couple of things, but before I do, I want to ask if there's any unfinished business tonight. One thing about Well 10 is the crew is on site and they'll be drilling this week. So hopefully we'll see an end to the drilling and they'll be able to finish up that project. As we continue to further develop the project, I'll let the council know. The water tower continues to be constructed, as you guys have seen. If you haven't seen, drive by there. The walls keep getting higher. And my understanding is the Lions Park improvements to the ball field are supposed to begin again this week. So they had to mobilize some equipment to get that set up in order to do the dirt on the infields. We anticipate that'll take place this week. Spencer had some information. He and I had talked last week, and our finance officer and I were, you know, obviously concerned about our budget as to what the impacts of our budget would be. And so he has contacted all the department heads. We're going to postpone any purchases in excess of $50,000 to in order to, we just want to take precautionary measures, and then if there's anything in particular departments that they have, they're going to need to come and get permission to do so. So that way we don't anticipate a big change in our budget, because a lot of our budget is still from sales, mainly from property tax. But we still get utility tax and sales tax revenue. So those are things we're watching. I want the council to know that between myself and our finance officer, we're looking out for things. We'll be looking at different benchmarks as we get to the 6 month mark and so on. So trying to be budget conscious and aware of the things that are taking place. There are no shutoffs taking place by order of the governor. We're also not charging any late fees, but the city can't waive anybody's water bill or sewer or utility or garbage bill. So we're encouraging them to contact the city if they see a problem or they're going to get behind and they're experiencing difficulties. The city is encouraging people to notify us, and we can work out an arrangement with them. But ultimately, though, they will eventually have to pay their bill. We have, I'm going to contact council about two committee meetings in the next week, a street committee meeting and also a park and rec meeting. So I'll be in touch with you about that. And today I got on the telephone and I talked to a number of people here, and I'll go through this. I felt like there's been enough. I mean, people heard about the social distancing and washing their hands and those items enough. There's plenty of information, you know, on the web. There's information on our website, the county's website, the Department of Health website. There's a lot of information out there, but this is local information, and I think people will want to know some of this information. First is I talked to Walmart and the manager, and He wanted the community to know that they've set up a hand sanitizing station at the front door. Carts are all cleaned as they're being brought into the store. Self-checkouts are wiped down after every customer. They have special hours starting tomorrow morning. It's from 6 to 7 a.m. for seniors and for at-risk shoppers. And from the start, he wants us to know that they're doing their best to make sure all important items, cleaning items, sanitary items, food items, have been distributed equally to every Walmart in nationwide. And so that our Walmart is going to continue to get its share of those items. They are limiting, though, certain items so as to ensure that the community gets has access to those items as possible. Also, for those who've been put out of work or lost their jobs because of the things that are taking place, Walmart is hiring here locally, and people can they can apply at walmart.com. They've reduced their hours from 7 a.m. to 8:30 so that they have extra time to keep the stores clean and the shelves stocked. Every day, the staff at Walmart is committed to serving this community, and they wanted us to know that. The other major supplier of food to the community is Leprechaun. Leprechaun is currently setting up new supply channels, and they also tomorrow are implementing a reduction of store hours so they can have more time to stock shelves. They said to look for senior specials and special shopping times to help people who are at risk. The reduction in store hours is to help in limiting the exposure to customers and employees. They say their employees are doing a great job, and they're helping the community by being open and staying open, and they're being paid for extra time. They're being paid double time instead of time and a half during these challenging times. And they wish everybody well during these difficult times, and they'll get through this as we're going to get through this together as a community. I then spoke with Nieves Gomez, the CBHA CEO. They're open and they're seeing patients. Every entrance lane has a hand sanitizing station 6 feet away from initial contact. And every patient is screened at the door for temperature and cough, and they're asking COVID-19 questions. Fresh outside air is being cleaned and provided into the facility. State-of-the-art precautions are being taken with their new facility. Providers are offering telephone appointments and are recommending patients use the drive-up pharmacy. And for more advanced and at-risk health conditions, patients can make arrangements for a drive-through where staff would come out and do a swab. The mobile coach is for emergency dental procedures, and they've established a local task force with the hospital and the school district for protocols and processes. They want everyone in the community to know that the healthcare workforce at CBHA knows and understands the risks that they're taking personally, but they want to continue to meet the healthcare needs of this community. And according to Nieves Gomez, the CEO, there's no better environment in the state to be provided healthcare right now than CBHA. We're all in this together, and we need to work together and be patient. I talked to the CEO at the hospital, Connie Agenbrod, and she said that they're open and they're seeing patients. They have a screening station at the front entrance, and all visitors and patients are being screened. They're taking every necessary precaution to ensure that the public is safe, and the staff are being screened as well when they come on to work. All elective surgeries are being postponed as per the State Department of Health, and the staff and the medical community at the hospital are working jointly with CBHA to serve the health needs of this community, and they're united to see this community through this challenging time. And the last statement I have is from the food bank, and I talked to Sharon Mobley. She says they're open Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from noon to 2:30. Clients are allowed to be served once a week. No clients are allowed to come in. Social distancing rules apply. Pre-made boxes are dispensed. And she also says that the food bank has adequate supplies to provide food for the community currently. And if you have any questions, you can call at 488-6044. And with that, I want to ask the council, is there anything that you guys want to add or say to the public?
I would like to, John Erickson.
Yes, John.
Well, just after observing and seeing how things have gone over since our last council meeting, which was our emergency meeting, I had asked the question about whether or not we're going to keep the parks open or close them. What the governor's address this evening is your take that our parks are closed, Mr. Mayor, or I'm kind of looking for some input on do we need to close our parks down to kind of stop some of the gatherings that are taking place?
Well, I think the governor took care of that.
Okay.
So he said it's voluntary for now. It doesn't mean people can't go for a walk in the park. It doesn't mean that people can't go outside. It doesn't mean that people can't continue to live their lives, but they're trying to proactively limit the spread of this infection, and this is the way they've chosen to deal with it. So we as the general public, doesn't matter if you're the mayor, a councilman, or if you're just a member of this community, we need to do everything we can to minimize the risk. And so I think everybody knows and has heard about the social distancing, the group gatherings, and the other things. I know that the actions of the governor today are, you know, very stringent. I think people are, you know, it was just announced, and I think people are still going to try and determine what that means for them. But I think that we do need to limit our social interactions, and that's the best way that they've found right now to combat this, the spread of the infection.
I agree. I guess my only comment would be to the citizens of Othello, the sooner we can get this thing under control, the sooner we can be out and living our normal lives, like the governor said. You know, just continuing to disobey this is going to just prolong these continued restrictions on the community and cause further damage to, or hardships, I should say, not damage, but hardships for the remainder of the businesses that aren't able to be open. So if there's anybody listening in the council meeting this evening, I hope this gets spread around. Let's get this taken care of now in our community so we can get back to business as normal.
Thank you, John. Council, do you guys have anything else?
No. I don't think shutting parks down is the answer, though.
I don't.
I think that the if it's children that are gathering in the park and we're worried about them being too close together and socializing, that's a parent's responsibility. Should we take away the avenue for them to gather? They'll just gather on the street. They'll gather somewhere. But it's a parent's responsibility to look after their own and take care of their own. And I don't think we need to, you know, shut down a park that can be utilized by the public in a very cooperative manner with all of this going on.
Well, they're big enough.
I think, you know, for the record, I did check with the city of Pasco and the city of Moses Lake. They haven't closed their parks. The bathrooms are not open. Their parks are open. I don't know that we need to take any specific council action unless you're trying to restrict people from being in the park. And I don't know whether that's, I guess the police chief has a comment.
I'm sorry, but I mean, this may be the first time I'll actually disagree with many of you. The governor's stay-at-home order is he's, without saying the words, a shelter-in-place order for the next 2 weeks. There's specific reasons you can go and do business. That's going to the grocery store, going to the doctor. I mean, there's other types of businesses that will be left open. As we're watching the kids, and as my officers are driving around town watching kids playing basketball together in our parks, that is exactly what this order is against. So if you want to walk through your neighborhood, you want to walk through the park, I think that that's totally acceptable. You want to go play organized sports in the park where you're actually touching and or in close proximity, that is a misdemeanor crime, and that needs not to happen. Otherwise, we're going to see much more strict things come down from our governor. So, I mean, I hate to tell you all of this, but I mean, business is not as usual.
So I don't think, at least I'm not advocating for the organized sports. That was one thing that was specifically listed by him. You can't go play basketball. He specifically said that, and that's not why I'm against closing the parks. You know, the walking through it. One of the things he did say also, you want to go for a bike ride? Go for a bike ride. You want to go for a walk? Go for a walk.
The concern I have, council member, is if we're going to say that our parks are open, am I going to station a police officer at the parks to say, okay, you're playing basketball, okay, you're walking, you're okay, you're not? The issue comes down to, I mean, I don't want to expose my officers unnecessarily, and every contact that we have to make to try to enforce something like this or educate the public, okay, enforcement isn't our goal. Educating our public for the next couple of weeks is our mission, and we need to make sure that folks aren't finding reason to come together, and that's what we're seeing right now in our parks is the basketball.
So, but if we close the parks, you're going to have to make contact with every person in the park, not just the people playing basketball or not just the organized sports. It would have to be every person in it.
So this decision just came down today. There's 48 hours to enact this decision. If we get the message out there to the public today for the city of Old Fellow that if you're congregating in the park to play basketball, flag football, whatever, that's prohibited. That is a
misdemeanor.
It's a misdemeanor, okay? Parents, do not allow your teenage children to do such things, okay? But if you want to pass through the park, walk in the park, maybe go sit on the swings in the park, keeping a distance from other people.
Play in the skate park.
Yes, but keeping your social distancing, that's, you know, perfectly fine, as far as I'm concerned, with what the governor said today. But yes, I agree with you, Chief, that it does create a situation, but I don't want to take everything away from the public. I don't want to put them, might as well confine us into a camp.
I agree with you, council member.
Well, I think, this is John Erickson. I think that's where we're heading, is being combined into a camp if we don't get this thing under control. It's been a progressive nature to get us to this point, and we haven't seen the compliance throughout the state, and therefore the governor's continually adding restrictions. And if we don't get this under control now, and especially in our community, I think that we're going to see more and more of these restrictions come into place. And I strongly feel that we don't need to be posting officers at the park and turning them into playground police. We've got far bigger problems coming. Just going off of some of the things that I've researched in the California and the Oregon area that have toyed with this idea of shelter in place, that the crime has been on the rise, and theft and prowls, and I'm looking at the Adams County Sheriff's Report, and you're seeing prowls and theft that just seem to be a little bit more than normal. I think we need to get this under control somehow, and I also agree with you, Councilman Lawless, and how do you take the public amenities away that are kind of a staple in the small community? I guess there's no right answer, but at some point we're going to have to rip the Band-Aid off and make the stance that, hey, everybody, we've got to get on the same page here and get it cleaned up, and move, and so we can get, the sooner we can get this over with, the sooner we can move on with our day-to-day business.
I'd like to say one last thing, because I believe we're all hearing each other here. The issue is a simple message. We have a small hospital. If we keep finding excuses and reasons to come to town, to do business as usual, to drive around, to interact with all of our friends, we're going to overload our hospital. And we need to find reasons for the next 2 weeks to stay home. If we need groceries, that's a legitimate reason to go to the store. But to go, my kids are not going to go hang out at the park. They're going to hang out at home for the next couple weeks. And that's, I believe very much, as a parent, my social responsibility. I don't like giving up my rights. I don't like taking away my kids and my family's rights. But if we're not putting the burden on our hospital isn't going to make them work harder. It's going to be, we've used up all the ventilators, and the next person that comes along doesn't get one. That's how serious this is, and that's the reason for a shelter in place or a stay-at-home order. It's not, you know, to make this thing go away. It's to try to take the burden off our hospital. So.
That's a very valid point.
Okay. Well, I think the message is clear from our police chief, and probably, and I've heard it from emergency and health, that they really are encouraging people to stay home. So stay home. Find something to do around the house that you haven't done in a long time, or that you never thought you had the time to do, and now you do. These are challenging times, and we're doing our best as a city and a city government to, work and cooperate not only with all these different agencies, but also with our citizens. And I just want you to know we're all in this together, and we're going to get through this together, even a two-week stay-at-home order. And once we get through that and the next step and phase of this process that we're in, we're going to deal with that. But right now, I think it's important that people do their best to stay at home. It is a good idea to get some exercise. So if you want to get out and walk and you want to do those things, those aren't going to put anybody at risk. And so with that, I don't think we have anything else further to discuss. Do we, counsel?
Hey, I actually kind of, I've got chiefs, it's running through my head hard, and the last statement you made, I actually wouldn't have a problem closing the parks. I mean, it's just, those are pretty powerful statements he made.
Okay. You close the park. How do you then not allow people to go into the park? The park is open. It's open. Are you going to put up a temporary fence to prohibit people from going into the park and then police it?
How do we close the parks when we get an extreme downpour?
Nobody wants to go out in an extreme downpour.
No, but once it quits raining, they do.
But
what would that look like, Chief?
How do we do it?
We're all in this together. I mean, this our community. I think if we educate them of what we're doing, why we're doing it, I believe that 99% of our people will do the right thing.
But the governor's already said, he's already declared that it is a misdemeanor, according to you,
what I'm
to
saying,
gather to play sports.
Councilman, what I'm saying is when we tell those kids they need to go home once, I think that's going to be good enough 99% of the time.
We're not going to go arresting 100 people and putting them in a jail that doesn't exist. This isn't the time to put people unnecessarily, you know, flex our muscles. We're here to work with people.
I'm just saying, what more teeth does it have if we say the park is closed? You can't utilize it when the governor's already said that you can't gather in the park.
We will remind people that they need to go home.
Okay. Maybe having the parks closed would just be another reminder. I don't know what the answer is. I don't. But one more tool in that bag. People listening to the governor and then seeing that, yeah, the parks are closed, maybe I better wake up and listen. Whether it helps out somebody, whether it helps out one person staying out of the hospital. You know, it just... I don't like that idea, but that was pretty... Like I said, we have a very small hospital. We already have somebody in town that has the virus. You know, it's touching, it's scary for a lot of people.
One, if this would help the healthcare, CNHA, and the hospital not, I think I'm on that side now, too. I think they would appreciate that. Yeah, I think whatever we can do as a visual, even if it's a visual.
So you want a set of policy then?
I do.
You'd have to create,
I do. This is Harrison.
You'd have to create an ordinance under the Emergency Act that you've imposed to shut the parks down.
I think the mayor has the authority to create that order, and we would have to vote on it, is my understanding.
Okay, I'm asking council if you want me to create the order to close the park in the city.
I'm in favor of that.
You're the one that's you're going to make the decision.
Okay.
We're not voting on it.
But it's got to be backed up by council, too.
Well, are we voting on it then?
Because everything that he does under that policy is reviewable for 3 days.
Okay.
The mayor has the ability.
Exactly.
Right.
You know my opinion.
So, but when you say that you're closing the parks, are you saying nobody's allowed in the park?
I think a walkthrough.
I think that's the biggest question, John Erickson. I think that's the biggest question we have out there. How do you police that?
Why couldn't they use the parks?
Could you close portions of the park?
No.
The play area, the basketball courts?
That's potentially possible. We could put a fire line, you know, do not cross around the playground.
I think that makes more sense.
And right. The basketball courts. But what he was talking about was team sports. That's what he was talking about.
But he also said that we're allowed to go out and take walks, and as long as we keep the 6-foot distance between everybody, then that's fine.
So is that what this community wants to do? Is this what you guys want to do? You want to have those cordoned off?
Because I think there's kids on the playground. There's kids on the school playgrounds that are currently closed. I don't know if there's anything we can do about that, but I think those should be... Yeah.
I think that makes more sense than closing.
So, this is John Erickson. If we're going to close parks, then that's going to have to be enforceable. Am I incorrect in saying that? We're going to have to enforce that somehow, and it's probably going to be our law department, our police department that's going to be enforcing that, correct?
Yes, we've talked about... When we're talking about closing the park, we're talking about cordoning off the playground and the basketball courts. People can still go to the park. So I don't want to close the park to imply that you can't go to the park. You can't go for a walk. You can't.
Okay, and that's what I was getting at is, you know, if we're going to throw another responsibility, an added responsibility onto the police department, I would look to comment or get comments from Chief Shank on whether or what that looks like, and so that we're making the proper decision that we're not overtaxing our police force and they're unable to perform other critical duties, you know, during this time. So I agree with you, Mayor, if we can keep the areas open that don't encourage gathering, then that might be something to look at.
Fence off that area. I mean, or not fence it off, but my care.
Realistically, walking around is a good thing, but playing basketball or playing on the playground equipment, there's no way in the world I'd let my kids play on the playground equipment.
Right.
Some of the studies that are coming out right now are 3 days on a flat surface. That's as I'm touching a flat surface. Not necessarily a good thing. Now, this is an education. Will it tax the police department? Not unnecessarily. It's reasonable. We can make contact with folks when we see them crossing over the barrier tape and using the basketball hoops. But same thing goes, if we see, you know, 5-10 kids out playing in the street shooting hoops, we're going to contact them and tell them this is not the time.
Right.
And as much as I hate that, this is not a military state. This is not martial law. We are part of your community, and we love this community too. But this is important. I think you all heard me enough there. So.
Well, and I think if we cordon off those areas, there's specific areas that are going to be the focus. The police will be able to see those as they drive by.
It'll be a lot easier to enforce.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
As opposed to closing down the entire park.
Okay. Is there any other comments, Council? I'll get staff on it. I don't know if we'll get it done by tomorrow, but we'll get on it right away. With that, I want to thank you for your service tonight. It was a good discussion. I think that these are issues that we all need to continue to talk about. And look out for your elders in this community and look out for your neighbors and your family. With that, I'll conclude tonight's meeting at 7:12 p.m.